All right, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this session on SharePoint solutions and SharePoint apps for mobile devices. Thanks all for coming. I hope you're having a great SharePoint conference so far. And I'm glad I can catch you here. Before I get into the agenda and talk about what we're going to talk about, let me just introduce myself. My name is Josh Gavant. My current role with Microsoft is that I am a program manager, a PM, with Microsoft Open Technologies, and I'll talk about my company in a minute. Some of you may know me from my previous role as a SharePoint Premier Field Engineer, where I was out supporting customers in the field and getting all this stuff running for you guys. So call out to my PFE buddies that are in the audience and for all the work they do for Microsoft and for our customers. You may also have read my blog occasionally, beside the point where I have blogged on some hot issues of the day in the past about SharePoint. So let's talk about the agenda for the next hour plus. First, I just want to go over what exactly Microsoft Open Technologies is, what we do, what you might have seen from us. Then we're going to dive into the new Android SDK. So a lot of this session is going to be about the new Android SDK for Office 365, which you heard everyone talk about on Monday and maybe references yesterday. We're going to split that into two sections, one on the aspects of the SDK that deal with files and lists, your classic SharePoint stuff, and then another part on mail, calendar, and contacts, your classic Exchange information. We'll step from there to talk about what you can do to contribute. Specifically, I want to give you a little tour around GitHub, where we have stored all of this open source code. And then I hope that we will get to show you a different kind of app built on Cordova, which is a cross-platform mobile development framework. So hopefully we'll have time to at least demo that and show you a little bit of that. Sound good? I got a little swag here, so I'll try to throw in some questions and give out some stuff along the way. So if you have questions, raise your hands and we'll try to accommodate. You've seen this slide already a few times this week, the past few days, kind of the message that we're trying to get across with Office. We are trying to allow you to get your data into the context of Office with our contextual apps, where you've got your data, your apps running in the Office user interface, within Outlook, within SharePoint, etc. And then on the flip side, we've got these robust set of APIs where we're allowing you to pull data out of Office and expose it in your own interfaces and in your own apps. Of course, this session is going to be about native device apps, and it's going to be all about that second part, pulling information from the APIs and getting it into your apps. Flexible tools. I will admit that Visual Studio has a lot better tooling than what we have for Android at this point. So still the first-class citizen there, but we're getting better, and a lot of stuff is coming out for non-Microsoft platforms. So I promised I would discuss a little bit about my company, Microsoft Open Technologies. Who here has heard of MS OpenTech? By show of hands. Wow, not very many. I was hoping for a few more than that, but that's okay. That's why I'm here to tell you about us. So we were a part of DPE, Developer Platform Evangelism. My team started out that way. And then about 2 years, they spun us off as an independent, wholly owned subsidiary that's dedicated to, as that logo with the bridge kind of indicates, dedicated to bridging Microsoft services and non-Microsoft platforms, as well as vice versa. So, for example, Microsoft services like Office 365 services, make them available on Android and iOS and Linux and wherever else you might want to use them that's not a Microsoft platform. And also vice versa, we try to help the Windows team be able to surface your favorite services that aren't Microsoft-based on their devices. So that's kind of our role, be the bridge builder. A couple things that we're known for. I put a list up there. We've done a lot of stuff. You can go to our website, msopentech.com, and get an idea of some of our projects. But VM Depot, is a project where we have a gallery of non-Microsoft VM images that you can use in Azure Infrastructure as a Service. We've contributed to Cordova and Angular and other JavaScript frameworks to make them work better on Windows. We contribute to HTTP 2.0 and the HTML5 standards. We've been involved with WebRTC, all kinds of excitement there. And we've helped build cross-platform SDKs. SDKs for Android, SDKs for Java, for Ruby, for Python. We did that with Azure, and hopefully this is just the beginning of a journey to do that for Office 365. MSOpenTech.com, that's our website. I should have put it on the slide. All right, so that brings us to segue into what we're doing for Office right now, which is the Android SDK for Office 365. I think it's kind of obvious why we're doing this, but let's just reiterate. You've heard a lot about the REST APIs that Exchange has produced, that SharePoint has had, and it's really great to be able to use those. But when you're sitting down to write an app, you don't want to have to go through all of the complications of writing your own requests, sending your own requests, dealing with parsing the responses. So these SDKs wrap those REST APIs and make it much easier for you to get started developing. And that's our goal. Use that REST API foundation and then make it really easy on any device to interact with Office services. The Android SDK is already available. We made the GitHub repo public on Monday. So you can go out there and take a look around at it. Like I said, towards the end of the presentation, I'm going to give you a tour of that repo. But there's the URL right there. So the easiest way to remember it for me is github.com/officedev. And then you'll see a list of the projects that they're working on. This is the only one at this point. How many people here have worked with a project in GitHub before? Okay. Cool. It's a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun since I've been on this team, Open Technologies, getting to work with open source, getting to share our stuff out with everybody else and get contributions back, learn from the industry. So I'm hoping this is I'm glad that this is a direction that we're going in. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and dive into the SDK. Like I said, we're going to start with the files and list stuff, your classic SharePoint. And we're going to break this into two sections. First, I'm going to talk about how to set up your development environment so that you can actually develop Android apps. And then we'll talk about the specifics of writing apps for using this SDK. So another question for you guys. Now, let's go back to this slide so it doesn't distract you. How many people have written an app for Android? Okay, a few hands go up. I figured we'd have a lot of people that are new to this thing. So I hope I'm not going too basic, but I'm gonna try to set the stage so that we all are on the same page. So here's our setup, and it really isn't that complicated. First of all, everything you do with Android is gonna be based on Java. The Android platform runs apps that are written on Java. The development platform, which is Eclipse, runs on top of Java. And if you're coming from the .NET world, really Java isn't that much different. So there's a lot of good news you're going to see as we go along. A lot of concepts that you are used to from building XAML apps, say, for Windows, for building .NET apps in C#, that translates over really well to what there is in the Java environment. I mean, these guys have been cross-pollinating ideas for years at this point. So Java comes with a Java runtime environment, which is very much like the .NET common language runtime. And it comes with a set of libraries and a language, and you basically compile your Java code into an intermediate language, which they call Java bytecode, which the Java virtual machine runs. And the promise of Java has always been, hey, wherever you can run the Java virtual machine, you can run Java apps. Just like we say with .NET, wherever you can run the .NET virtual machine, you can run .NET apps, which is finally kind of being realized with the Xamarin project, where we run the .NET runtime on Linux or on non-Windows. So the first thing you need to do is you got to download the Java Developer Kit. There's a few of these out there, but the best place to go is to go to Oracle and just download the JDK. You install it, couple environment variables you have to set. By the way, I'm going to talk you through this, and then I'm going to actually show you it as a demo. But we'll talk through it first, and then I'll show you it. So the first thing you got to do, get the Java Developer Kit, specifically the JDK. That's what it's called, not just the runtime environment, but the whole JDK, and install it. Then you'll be ready for your next step, which is to get the Android Developer Tools. And this, I'll demonstrate it, is just a bundle of things that you get from Google. You download it, you extract it, and you're just about ready to go. Actually, the Android Developer Tools are just Eclipse with a bunch of plugins. So Eclipse, for those that don't know, is an integrated development environment, kind of like Visual Studio, but not as good, I'll be honest, Eclipse is a pretty bare-bones platform, but it's very good for extensibility. You can add a lot of plugins on top. And Google took advantage of that, the Android project took advantage, and they packaged up Eclipse with a bunch of plugins that make Android development really simple. So you'll download that package, comes with Eclipse and those plugins, and it comes with some additional elements for working with the Android SDK. Once you download it, you'll open up the SDK manager and download a couple extra components that you need. And you'll also open up the Android Virtual Device Manager and create yourself a virtual Android device, which is what I'm going to be using for demos today. Finally, this last step here, install eGit. This is kind of an optional step, but it's something that I like to do. It's another plugin for Eclipse, which gives you easy management of Git repositories, like those that are on GitHub. So I'll show you that. Okay, once you would have this, you've got your Eclipse environment set up, you're about ready to go. The next step will be to pull in our SDKs into your working environment so that you can build with them. Two that you're going to end up needing, the Android SDK for Office 365, which you already mentioned, and then you're going to need another project that we're working on, which is the Azure Authentication Library for Android, which makes getting those access tokens and dealing with OAuth simpler. So you'll need both of those. And then you'll get them moved into your workspace, and I'll show you that. One alternative to this, though, if you don't want to download the source and go through the source and stuff, we will make the jars available. A jar is in Java as a DLL is in .NET. JAR stands for Java Archive. So basically that code is just packaged up in basically a zip file, and you just download the pre-compiled code, import it into your project, and you're ready to go. So if you're not interested in the source, we will make it possible to just download the DLL and use it that way. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a tour, hopefully. Oh, my computer is sleeping. Wake it up. Take a little tour of setting up your development environment. So I've already installed the JDK. I'll just show it to you here. Under Program Files, Java, you see I've got... JDK and JRE. I've added the Java underscore home environment variable to my environment variables. So I'm good with that. The next thing I need to do is I go out to download the Android Developer Tools. Just search for it. This is what you'll end up seeing, and what you want to focus on is here where it says download the SDK ADT bundle for Windows. When you download that, you will end up with, go to my tools folder, ADT bundle for Windows. All you got to do is extract that, and you'll get this folder here. And you'll see there's two parts of the folder. There's Eclipse, which is Eclipse with all of the plugins that you'll need for Android, and then SDK, which is the all of the Android SDK components that you'll need. So the first thing you'll want to do is double-click the SDK manager and download a couple extra pieces. Some of the stuff will come pre-installed, but in particular, I want to call out the current version of Android is Android 4.4 KitKat. But the Azure Authentication Library for Android currently only supports Android 4.3. They say that they're going to have the fix in by April to support KitKat 4.4. So in the meantime, you'll need to download the 4.3 components to make sure that everything that you do works. Next step, once you've gotten that, go ahead and just go into here, double-click Eclipse. You notice they've even overlaid the splash screen to say Android Developer Tools. So like I said, Eclipse is very extensible. It asks me the workspace, which is kind of like a solution in Visual Studio. I just say a new empty workspace, because I want to show you guys stuff. And it pops up with this kind of welcome screen, which I'll go ahead and close. And this is your basic development environment where you can develop Java applications and Eclipse and Android applications. I mentioned installing eGit. The way you would do that is you go to Help, Install New Software. This is kind of like NuGet in Visual Studio. You get a number of packages to choose from. Specifically, I'll choose Get Me From Juno. That's the code name of this version of Eclipse. And I type in here eGit. Sometimes this takes a second. And it will find, there it is, just take that first one, Eclipse eGit, and you install it. I've already installed it. Now, so we've gotten through that first slide that I showed you. We've installed the JDK, set whatever environment variables we needed. We've downloaded the Android developer tools. We've set up our SDKs that we needed from Google and from Android. We set up eGit. One thing we didn't do, which that just reminded me, is we need an Android virtual device. So you go to the window menu and Android Virtual Device Manager. And I've got a couple already there, but if you didn't have, you go ahead and hit new, choose the parameters you want. Let's say a Nexus 4 targeting Android 4.3. You choose the system image that you're using. You will need to set this to 768 RAM. That's a thing with Windows. You need to always be 768 RAM, so keep that in mind. And then you would have a virtual device. I will go ahead now and start up this Android 4.3 device. It's always nice to start it up because then when you're ready to start testing, it's already all booted and running. I'll start it up and put it over here. Just wait for that to finish. Yes. Okay. So we've gotten through that first slide. The next thing I mentioned was we need to pull in the repos where we have the SDK, right? All that code so that you can use it. What I like to do is using Eclipse eGit, go up to this top right corner. So you see right now it says Java. So in Eclipse we have this concept called perspectives, which is what editors are open, what projects explorers are open, all that good stuff, what debuggers are available. So here I need a different perspective. Specifically, I need Git repository exploring. We'll zoom back out. And you can see I get this little Git repositories area. And it gives me the option to add an existing local Git repository, clone a Git repository, or create one. So I'm going to go ahead and just click clone. And let me open up. Here is the O365 SDK for Android GitHub repo, hopefully. There we go. And like I said, we'll tour through this in a bit, but what you want to start with is this little URL. I don't know why it says subversion, but you just say copy to clipboard. You go in here, just paste that URL right in. It's a public repo, so I don't need to authenticate or anything. I just hit next. It says, oh, there's only one branch available, the master branch. Let's put it into demos. Oops. Put it into this folder. I'm going to do this all live, so hoping it works well. And you see in the background it downloads the whole repository. So we've got the Office 365 SDK. We'll walk through that in a minute. Up here, those options that we had in the middle are now up in this section up here. It's pretty hard to see. Let me just zoom in. You see I've got add an existing local repository, clone one. So I'm going to go ahead and click clone, because remember, what was the other one I needed? Yes, who said that? You want a shirt? Good thing you're in the front row. Um, So we got to get the Azure library. So again, I find the clone URL, copy it, go into here. Whoops. Keep getting confused with the two keyboards. Hit next. Now they've got, yesterday they had like 15 branches. Now they're down to like 7. Deselect all. I just want master. And I'll again put this into the demos. Finish. Gets those down. So now I've got 2 Git repositories cloned to my local machine. But right now I'm just looking at the bare repositories. I haven't added them into a project to work with. So my next step is to go through these. Let's start with the Office 365 one. We'll go into the SDK folder. If I want to work with the SDK, I need to import the base SDK. So let me zoom in so you can see what I'm doing. I right-click on base SDK and choose Import Projects. Pops up this little dialog. And I say, go for it. Finish. It'll import it. I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing for lists. The lists SDK. Go ahead and import it. And then I'm going to go into the Azure library and do the same thing. Right-click and import it. So what I'll have now, before I do it, let me just tell you what I'm doing. So you see up at the top right, I've got my 2 perspectives, right? I'm right now in my Git repository exploring perspective. Switch back over to the Java perspective. And we see that I've added those libraries in here. Good thing to do, I got some errors on build. Good thing to do right away is just to clean all projects. Now those errors went away. So let me just call that out again, what I just did. There were some X's on my projects that I had imported, which made me nervous because I am doing this live and I don't want it to mess up. But a good way to sometimes get rid of those X's, first thing to try is go into Project Clean, and it cleans out, like, sometimes things get imported out of order and it tries to build and you haven't imported the other projects yet. So once you got everything in there, just do a clean and hopefully everything will come out with no red. Let's just take a quick tour through what this SDK looks like. So what it looks like here in Eclipse. So some key files, some of them we'll get to in a bit, but what I want to look at here right now is just SRC, the source folder, where we have the actual source code for this SDK that my team has been working on for 6 months, and we're sharing it out with everybody to look at and to contribute to. So if I open this, I see in Java everything really is just a class. So if I'm curious about how this was implemented, I can just open up officeclient.java and see exactly the source code with comments and everything that's being used. Another interesting one is SharePointClient.java. This is, of course, the base SDK. So it's what's being used by the file SDK and the list SDK to augment and add on to it. You can see discovery information, which we're in the process of working on, to work with the discovery API. So very cool that you can actually go through there and learn about the code from the source without, you know, need for reflection or any kind of hacking. It's all there for you to learn from. Another cool aspect I want to point out in the list SDK is that we have a folder called doc. And what happens with Java is that as long as the code is well commented, we get automatic documents generated about the SDK from that code comments. So if I double-click index.html, and I'll zoom back out here, you see I actually get this kind of MSDN-like guidance to the SDK. So I could click SharePoint List Client. It tells me here's what the constructor is. Here's the methods I could call on it. Here's more details about each of the parameters, et cetera, et cetera. Let's narrow this down again. Okay. So I think we've covered setting up your development environment. And we will be back. Okay, the next thing that I want to talk about is the SDK itself, how you use it, how you get into it, how you write your code. And we're going to talk about three core things here. So we'll go through and then I'll reiterate them. First is the constructors. And this is pretty common paradigm. You're creating these proxies, basically, that will encapsulate all the calls back to SharePoint or Exchange or Office 365 on your behalf. So the first thing you got to do is constructors to create the clients. So the first big one is file client. And it takes the URL of the server that you're trying to hit, a site relative URL, which, so if you're trying to just hit the root site, it would be slash. And then finally, credentials, which we'll talk about, basically going to be your access token that you get back for OAuth. You got to stick it in there. And then the methods that are on there are pretty self-explanatory, what you would expect. Get files, get file, get properties, which gets you metadata about files, move, copy. And this is a work in progress. So if there are things missing there or things in the REST API that you want to show up here, I'll tell you where to comment on that in the or for the code, for the people that are working on the code. Or you can add it yourself if you're really ambitious. But it's definitely a work in progress. So that's the file client constructor. Here's the SharePoint list constructor. Same idea, but this is to get into SharePoint list, pull back list items. So again, server URL, relative URL, and credentials. So that's one thing I wanted to discuss, the constructors. Next thing is a concept that probably some people have heard of and some might not, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So who here has heard of futures and promises before? Okay, so what this is about is whenever we're working on devices like Android, like modern Windows apps, anything that's going to take a long time, a long-running operation, we don't want to just do it on the UI thread. We don't want to freeze the UI thread. That's really the moral of the story. For a shirt, actually, I don't know, maybe nobody's going to know this. Does anybody know what an ANR is in Android? Raise your hand if you know. It stands for application not responding. And what it means is that after a certain period of time, and this, I'll give this as a question, does anyone know how long you get before an ANR pops up on your Android app? Close, try again. No. 5 seconds. If somebody clicks a button on your app and nothing happens, it doesn't get a response for 5 seconds, it'll pop up a message saying, this application is not responding, do you want to wait or cancel? So there's no tolerance for long-running operations. So somehow you have to send your operation to a background thread to be executed. And that's what futures are about. Essentially, a future or a promise is a placeholder for an object that's eventually going to be there. So I basically say, hey, I have a future. Here's some method that I want you to execute however you want to do it on a background thread that's going to return, let's say, an SP list item. In the meantime, I'm going to give the caller back this future because the caller needs to go on and do other things. But you go and finish your work, and when you're finished, update this the future that I gave the client with the result of your work. So future represents this placeholder for a future object. Sometimes it's called a promise, because I promise you I will have that object there eventually. Sometimes it's called a deferred object, because it's deferred, it's not actually there yet. So all of the methods in the Android SDK return futures, which means that what they do on a background thread. Now, that's great, but how do you actually work with the results? So whenever you have a future, you have certain methods. Done, then, and get are common ones, which is how you wire up a reaction to when that future gets completed, when it comes in. Okay? So you got your future, which says there's going to be something here eventually. Then you say, on that future, you say, dot done. Here's what I want you to do. Here's a callback that I want you to execute when the future is completed. Okay? So I'll just give you an example on the next slide of what this actually looks like. Pretending that that client object up there represents a SharePoint list client. You know, I've already created and everything, so I say client get list item. What it returns is an office future of SP list item. So it's not actually there yet. Then I call on that result.done, and I pass in this action class, which has a method run, which will actually do something with the result when it's available. Okay, so futures. This futures promises is coming up in a lot of areas, especially JavaScript, in areas where we need asynchronous stuff, where we need long-running operations to happen in the background and be responsive to our users. You're going to see these concepts coming up a lot. Async and await in C# use the same kind of concept. Promises in WinJS use this stuff. All right, so that's the second concept to clarify, futures. The third one is one of my old favorites, OAuth. So hopefully, if you've been working with the modern cloud app model for a little while, you've wrapped your head a bit around how OAuth works. You get access tokens so that you can authorize apps to call services on a user's behalf. So I've got up on the board right now the basic flow for server-side OAuth, and it's pretty straightforward. You've got your user, he hits a web application. Web application says, hey, before I can show you your information, I need to pull something out of SharePoint or Office 365 or something, and I don't have rights yet to do that. So that's step one. The user talks to the web application says, no can do, I need help. So the web application in step two sends the user over to the authorization server, in our case, Azure Active Directory, and says, hey, Azure, make sure this guy is willing to give me access to his resources, and then let me know about it. So Azure Active Directory will authenticate the user, however it does, gives the user an authorization code, which the user then, in step three, goes and hands back to the web application via a redirect URL. So the Azure Active Directory takes that redirect URL, puts the authorization code in it, and sends the user back to the web application. Web application grabs the authorization code out of there, and says, okay, goes in step four, talks to Azure Active Directory, says, give me an access token in exchange for this authorization code. Azure AD says, okay, you're good. I know who you are with the password or something. Gives the access token, and then finally in step five, the web application can talk to SharePoint or whatever other resource. So that's our server-side flow. Anyone know what that OAuth flow is called? There's a name for it in the spec. I work in standards a lot. So this is called the authorization code flow. There are a couple other flows also. Implicit is one of them. All right, so that's how it works for servers. But can you see where this is going to be a problem for devices? The problem for devices is at step three, where Azure Active Directory gave me an authorization code, but then... and then sends me back over to the web application with a redirect URL. And that works great if you got a server running out in the cloud that can handle that redirect URL. But a device app, an app running on a device, is not, it's just on the device. So how does it get that authorization code to go further? So that's really the trick with OAuth for devices, is how it gets that OAuth code. And so other side here, the change is in step three. Instead of in step three, the code going back to the user and then the user delivering it to the web application, we've got the device app intercepting that authorization code somehow. And that's the trick to all of these Azure libraries. You can go through it. It's open source, the Azure Authentication Library for Android. That's a trick to how we did it in Cordova, which hopefully I'll show you later on. It's all about how do I intercept that redirect URL, that authorization code in my app, take it out, and then go back to Azure Active Directory and swap that for an access token. So that's a trick for device OAuth. Still using the authorization code flow, but intercepting that middle step. And a lot of this gets abstracted by the libraries, but when you're sitting there looking through why things aren't working, and trust me, things often don't work the first couple times you're trying to get this going, knowing that you're going to have these two steps, these back and forth, is really helpful. Now, the way the Azure Authentication Library helps you with this, and I'm going to show you this in code, is if you've used the Azure Authentication Library for Windows apps the same way, you create an authentication context, you call acquire token, pass in all the necessary resource IDs and client IDs and all that good stuff, and then you'll end up with an access token that you can use. One thing that's kind of funny that you have to look out for is what I say in step four, wait for that token to be retrieved. because it actually happens asynchronously on the back, in the background. So you say acquire token, everything happens in the background. If you go too fast and start calling SharePoint before you've gotten your access token, then you're going to fall on your face and get an error. So what you want to do is somehow either, in my apps that I'll demonstrate, it's pretty simple. It just disables the next button until I get an access token. And then, but obviously in other apps, you'll want to somehow, you know, notice when the token is available and then do your next step. Okay, so we've talked about three things here. The constructors, we talked about futures, and we talked about authentication, Azure authentication with OAuth. Now I want to go ahead and demo this stuff. And I know this is a lot. If you haven't developed for Android before, and a lot of new concepts here, but at least you're hearing it here first, and you can go back and study. We'll have documentation out there. Maybe I'll finally get a chance to publish a blog post again. Okay, so I'm going to add in a sample project in a second, but before I do that, I just want to show you how you would create a new project from scratch. You go to File, New, Android Application Project. You type in your name and stuff like that, the name of the project. I'm not going to go through that here. Instead, I go back to my Git repository exploring thing, and I'm going to clone a Git repository. And actually here, I have something which you guys can all access too. I created this yesterday. It's a repo with the samples that I'm going to use for this for these demonstrations. So it's just at GitHub. I'll have the URL up later, github.com/joshgav, and it's the only thing I have in my namespace right now, 0365 Android SDK samples. So again, I'll copy that. Paste that in here. Only got one branch. We'll put it into D demos. And let's just narrow these all down. There is my Office 365 Android SDK samples. I've got this SPC list demo. I'm going to go ahead and import that in. Go back to my Java view, and you see I've got my SPC list demo. And got a little X there. Let's try cleaning the project. Okay, so this is an interesting thing and something to call out. Whenever you start a new project, you actually need to make sure, well, let me step through it step by step so you can see what I'm doing. You need to make sure that your project references the libraries that you've cloned in from Git, right? Just like you would have to do in .NET. You need to reference those other projects. So what you'll do here is right-click on your project, hit Properties, go to the Android button, and here I've got two bad references, so I just remove those. And I click Add, add in the reference to the Azure Active Directory library, add in the reference to the list SDK, hit OK, and now all my errors are a thing of the past. Okay, a couple things I want to show you, just again, to make you feel comfortable with Android development and see that it's really not that different from developing for .NET, C Sharp, and Windows applications. The first is the AndroidManifest.xml. It's just a manifest file, just like you have a SharePoint manifest file. Here we're looking at the XML part of it, but there is a GUI interface. You see it says what permissions it needs, like use credentials, internet. Here's details about the application, the activities, which are the screens in an Android application. They're called activities. Obviously, there's going to be a bit of a learning curve, but it's not terrible. It's the kind of stuff you've seen before. You can go through the UI and modify things through the UI if you prefer that. So that was one thing I wanted to show. The other thing is the layout of those screens. So I'm in the RES folder under Layout. I'm going to open up Activity Main. And you will see a nice WYSIWYG designer where I can drop in. This is what my app is going to look like. I can drop in buttons. I can drop in fields and edit texts. Here's a list view, which is going to list out my items at the end. And guess what? If I look in the actual XML form in the background, it looks a lot like XAML. It's just here we've got a linear layout, a button, a text view, an edit text, etc. So it's those same concepts over and over. So don't be too nervous. Okay, so now that we've looked at that, let's go ahead and just take a look at the actual source code. We'll briefly look at constants.java. So what I've done here, what we have here is all of the constants that are going to be needed to call Azure Active Directory. I've already set up a client in Azure Active Directory for a device. I'm not going to step through that now. One thing that I do need to do is replace these values. Where did I put that? Keep switching back and forth. Oops. Go ahead and copy, go back here, and replace so I get the proper values. Save that. And now let's look at mainActivity.java. So another little bit of an intro to Android here. MainActivity extends Activity. Remember, activities are our main screens in Java. And what you'll find is that they have a life cycle just like Windows apps. The place where you start, onCreate. So you override the onCreate method. We've been doing this for years, whether it's onLoad, onCreate, whatever, onResume. This is where you get your first chance to interact with your application. So onCreate, I do the same thing I might do in XAML. I inflate all of those things that were in my XML file. So they turn them into objects so that I can work with them. So I find my text views, I find my buttons, I find my list view, no problem. Here's my get access token. I set an on-click listener. It looks a little different than it might look in .NET or in C# with lambdas and things. Here, Java has a little different way of doing it, but it's the same concept. You know, I hook up an on-click listener, which is an anonymous class that has an on-click method where I call get token. I hook up another on-click listener to the get list items button, and here, eventually, assuming that there's text in there, I call get list items. Okay, so no big shakes there. Let's skip down to the actual get token code. I'm going to make this a little bigger. Can you guys see that okay? Okay. So here I am. Here's the get token. I'll make it just a tiny bit bigger. Here's get token. So I've kind of abstracted away the getting the authentication context. But essentially here I have get auth context. So I get my authentication context. I call acquire token, passing in things like the resource ID and the client ID and the redirect URL, etc. And now here's something interesting that I want to call out. Remember, it all happens on a background thread. So once I get that, once the process is finished, I need to know about it. So acquire token takes, at the end, this authentication callback, where I specify, here's what I want you to do when you finally do get that access token. And so here it is under on success. I create this, this OAuth credentials object, which is something specific to this SDK. Where I get the access token out of the result, and then I store it in a field on my class so that I can use it later on in the constructor. So again, get token, I get that authentication context, I call acquire token, and then I wire up an event and say, when you get the token, save it somewhere so that I can use it. Make sense? I also enable my get list items button. That was my little trick to make sure nobody goes too fast. One other thing to call out, you'll see this in the documentation for the Azure Active Directory library for Android, but you have to also have this method onActivityResult, where you pass it, you pass whatever you get in onActivityResult back to the authentication context. That's just an FYI. You'll read it in the documentation, add it in yourself. Okay, so here's the getListItems method. Here's what you've all come for. So in here, I create my SharePoint list client, specifying, I just take the resource ID, which is my SharePoint site, the relative URL, and the OAuth credentials, which I saved previously, the access token. Then I call client get list items, I pass in the list title. Null, I could specify a query here, which we're not going to get into. But then notice what I do. I'm not going to get the list items literally back from that call. I'm going to get a future, remember? So I call .done on that. And I wire up an action to be taken when the list items become available. So what will end up happening is that this get list items call will happen on some background thread. And when it's done, this thing that I put into the done method is going to get executed. The done method is this action of a list of SP list items. Notice it has a method run, which acts on my items. I build up this array list called item titles. I add the title of each item into that array list, so that by the time I get here, I've built an array of all the titles of all the items in my list. No, it will only, you can set off as many as you want. We'll only get, I think, 500 items at a time. So beyond that, you have to kind of deal with tokens and making a second call. So one thing I called out, which I might have called out before, is that this action that's kicked off by the future actually happens on a background thread, but I want to update the UI thread with the results from my call. So I end up having to call this special method run on UI thread. Where I, again, override the run method. I build an adapter. If you've ever worked with ADO.NET, I build an adapter of the objects that I want to show up in my list view. And then I set my list view, LV output is the name of my list view, to use that adapter. And then I'm done. OK, so with all that, let's go ahead and run the app. So I can just right-click the project, run as Android application. And then let me bring this up. While that's happening in the background, I can open up Windows Show View. Oh, it's asking me if I want to see the output called Logcat. I say yes, here's all the output from my Android system. But I also want to see my console, my Android console, where I can see details about having the app pushed to my emulator. So here I am. I'm going to go ahead and clear the token cache so it makes me start over. I click Get Access Token, and it will pop up this dialog where I will go ahead and sign in. That happened pretty fast. It got the token. And then I can click Get List Items. Oops. To give it a name, zip codes. And go ahead and click Get List Items, and it'll make the call back there. And it gets me a list of the titles of those zip code items. Now, if I look in the Logcat, I can actually see I put a lot more information back in there of the actual stuff that I got back for my own benefit to learn from it and stuff. You can see a lot of interesting stuff in the Logcat. If you didn't believe me that I got a token, I also added a little method here, show token. There's your good old access token sitting in the app. All right. Fun times. So let us move on. Now we're done with the lists and files. Let's move on to the calendar, mail calendar and contacts SDK, the artist formerly known as Exchange. So mail calendar and contacts, some goods and some bads here. First of all, the great thing about the Exchange APIs, I don't know who went to Rohit's session yesterday, about integrating calendar and contacts and email into your apps. If you didn't watch the video when it comes out, they did an excellent OData v4 compliant interface for getting all kinds of information out of Exchange, mail, calendar, and contacts. As a result, instead of having to build the SDK from scratch, we were actually able to build the Exchange SDK from the OData J client library, which is a library for OData, which actually MS OpenTech released last year. So I say that's good and bad because it's great that a lot of that work is done for us and it's automatic when you're compliant with the standard. It's bad because it's a little different from the lists and files SDK. So you're going to see some differences as a result. So again, three things here that I want to call out. First is that the Exchange one is based on OData J client. and it actually auto-generates the SDK from the dollar metadata endpoint, the OData dollar metadata endpoint. That means that if you do want to build from scratch, you can't do like I did in the other one, just import it into Eclipse and work with it. You actually have to go, if you're going to modify the source, and then you have to use Maven, which is a Java build tool, to actually build your jar file from source. I'm not going to demonstrate that here, but if you want to see it done, I can show you it afterwards. The other option is, like I said before, we will make the jar files available. So if you just want to get the jar, you don't care about building from source, you just get the jar file imported into your project. So that's the first detail about Exchange, or calendar context mail. Second detail is how you interact with Exchange. So remember, in the list and files, we have the constructor. In Exchange, we have the static class me. And if you went to, again, if you went to Rohit's thing yesterday, if you go to the OData endpoint for Exchange, you'll see that your main entry point is actually /me, OData/me. And that gives you access to your inbox and to your drafts and into your calendars and your contacts and et cetera, et cetera. So same thing in the SDK. You just have the static class me, and then you can call off of it get calendar, get inbox, all these things. So matching right along with the OData APIs. As you get further into it, let's say you do get messages and you get an individual message, you have methods like create reply or get a property or get recipients, send. So I'm actually going to show you an app that sends an email. Me is our key entry point. You also need to know about configuration because we use the configuration class to set things like the access token and the server URL that you're going to be calling up against. So that's the second point for Exchange. Your entry points are the configuration class and the me class. Last point for Exchange, we don't use futures here at this point. We're talking about putting them in there. But at this point, we don't use futures. And yet, you don't want to freeze the UI. ANR, what's ANR stand for? Yeah, so all of you that said I come up afterwards, you can get a hacky sack. application not responding. So the good thing is that Android has provided a way to do this. They call it the async task. You create yourself an async task, which comes with a do in background method, which Android handles sending it off to a background thread to be executed. And there's even an on post execute method you can override, which will come back and interact with your UI thread once you get results. So for Exchange, what you've got to do is wrap your call in this async task. Again, don't freeze the UI. And I'll show you an example. So the three things that we just said for Exchange. First of all, it's built from OData JClient because it is amazingly OData V4 compliant, and we can just auto-generate using tools. Makes it a lot easier for everybody. Second thing is the me entry point and the configuration entry point. Configuration for setting the configuration, and me for actually getting into the data. Third point is for async, use Android's async task. All right, so with that, let us create a mail app. And I'll switch screens. Okay, let's see here. So let's clear this out of here. I'll delete the contents for now. We don't need any of these. What we need, let's go back to our Git repository, and from our samples, SPC email draft center, a sender. And go ahead and import that in. And we'll do a clean and hope that gets rid of the error. Come on. One second, I'm going to close it and reopen. I do have it saved also if we keep getting that error. Yeah, so let's actually, I'm going to go to a workspace where I don't have that error. All right, so the goal of this email draft sender is it will pull in all of the drafts from my mailbox in Office 365, and it'll give me the option to click one, and then I can choose to send it. So if I forgot to send an email to my wife, it's in my draft folder, I can do that. Again, we've got our Android manifest.xml. If we go into res layout, we can see what my activity looks like. Draft email sender, I've got a button and a list view. Here I want to call out that I've dumped into the libs folder this mail calendar contact core.jar. So I just used the pre-built jar and added it to the libs folder, and that will make it automatically be available for my program. Okay? So I didn't have to reference source code or anything. Now let's take a look in the source. Again, I have a constants.java, which in this case has the right values for me to use Azure AD authentication. And then I have my main activity.java, where again, I'm building an activity, which is my screen in an Android application. OnCreate is my key first method. I inflate my my buttons and my list view message, my list views. And here's my first interaction with the SDK. Configuration, set server base URL to the resource ID plus EWS/OData. That's the endpoint for OData. I'm going to skip over for now the send message on click listener. We'll come back to that. Let's skip down to do login. So this was going to look pretty much the same as we saw for the SharePoint SDK. I get my authentication context. I call acquire token. I have an authentication callback so that when the process is done, I can do something with the access token. The difference is that for now, we are creating this iAuthenticator object. We call configuration set authenticator. We create an iAuthenticator object where we literally override the prepare request method and add the authorization bearer plus result.getAccess token into every single request. I'm talking with them about how we can make the SharePoint and the Exchange versions of this getting the authentication token set more similar. But for now, just look at these samples, and that's how you'll set up your authentication. Finally here, when I'm done getting the token, instead of lighting up a button or something, I go ahead and just call the read messages method. Okay, so I've gotten my access token, I call read messages. Let's skip down to that. Here's read messages, which, like its name implies, I'm going to go out and get a bunch of messages from my Exchange mailbox. I create an async task, and before we look at the async task, at the very bottom of the async task, you'll see it says execute. So I'm going to create the async task and immediately execute it. What that's going to do is Android handles all of the necessary threading and all that kind of business, and it will run this do in background on a background thread. So here is where things get interesting. Here's that me class. What I want to show you, is if I type me dot, me dot, I get all of that IntelliSense, or whatever it's called in Eclipse, to see the kinds of things that I can get at. Get drafts, get inbox. Same thing. Once I get a message, and I'm down in here working with a message, I can again use IntelliSense to see that I have copy, create reply, get body, get recipients, send, which we're going to use in a minute. So this is a pretty simple application that I've made, but you can see that because it's all automatically generated from that OData metadata, you get all the richness just built in right there, all the properties, all of the hierarchy, everything. So I couldn't even list it on a slide if I wanted to. So it's pretty straightforward. I'm doing me.getDrafts. I'm getting all the drafts, or I'm getting the drafts folder. Then I call drafts.getMessages. I get all the messages out of that folder. I go ahead and build up an array of those messages, and then I pass that to updateList. UpdateList is here this next method. It runs on the UI thread. It creates an array adapter, again, like ADO.NET, an adapter with all these items in the background. We won't get into all the specifics of its creating a two-line view for that list view. But ultimately, this is the key thing. List view messages set adapter to adapter. So I build up the adapter, and then I set the adapter to the list view so that my list view shows all my messages. Okay, so at this point, got my access token. I've read all my messages back. I've created an adapter that has all of my messages stored up in it, and I've associated that adapter with my list view. Great. The last step that I have is to make that send messages button actually work. So let's go back up there. And here I have button send message set on click listener. And I've done this, gone ahead and found the checked item from the list view. I find the selected message. I'm not going too deep into it, but basically I find the item that's at the current at the position that was checked. And then finally, again, I have an async task. I don't want to be acting on the UI thread. I get that message to send. I call message to send, send, and it will send it out. And then I wait two seconds to make sure everything on the server side gets updated. And then I call read messages again to update my UI. Of course, I create the async task, and I have to execute it, passing it the selected message. Okay, like I said, all the samples are available on GitHub, plus more samples that we have that's with the core SDK, so you can look this all over yourself and test it. Let's go ahead and run it, though, now. So I right-click, run as Android application, and I don't think I want to save any changes. And in the meantime, I also want to show my mailbox. Okay, so here is my mailbox. There's my draft email sender loading up. It actually has already saved my access token, I believe, here. So I don't even see the pop-up to log in. If I wanted to, I've added things here, clear token cache and stuff, to make that happen. But take a look here. Here's my drafts folder in Outlook Web Access. And as you can see, on the right side, I've got those messages listed here in Android. And I got my wife on the third line there, so hi. told her I'd get her name in there somewhere. So now I can choose one of these. And I go ahead. This is just sending it to myself. I click Send Selected Message. And we should see, there it is. It popped up in OWA. I got a new message. Here it is. Just came in. And it read, waited 2 seconds and read them again, so it updated the UI here. And that's that. Cool. So, last thing on these two SDKs is what can you do? And then we'll show a quick Cordova app. So what can you do? First of all, we're on GitHub, which is, to me, really exciting. It's a great place for collaboration, a great place for sharing source. For those of you that haven't been on there before, you're going to really enjoy the social experience of coding together with other people, finding other projects, working together. So we're out there. Get on there and check it out. Let's actually look at it on screen instead of just telling you submit issues and everything. So I want to give you a little guided tour. So here's the GitHub repository for the Office 365 SDK for Android. You see right here we've got our code. So if all you felt like doing is browsing through the code, you can just click through and read code files. It's a great way to learn. I want to point out the three folders that are in the root right now of this repository. Samples, which has 4 sample apps that the developers have put out there for you to play around with and learn from. SDK, which is the core SDKs, the base files, lists, and mail calendar contacts, exchange. And then tests, which you probably won't work with that much. There is a README. It's pretty fresh. We're going to keep going over it and making it clearer. But then I want to point out to you some things over here on the side. So first, we're right now in the code section. There's 3 other sections I want to show you. First is the issues section. So let me click to that. And I went to the closed one. This is one I filed yesterday because I was having problems building the mail calendar contacts SDK. And now let's just open it and show you how this kind of works. I put in there, it failed. I put in as much detail as I could for the developer. And he wrote back to me, you're right, it's using code generation and actually needs a login and password. So he fixed up the parent POM, we won't get into that, and then he updated the README. And then I gave feedback to the product group saying this shouldn't require authentication, so we'll work on that next. But the cool thing is you go into that issues, if you find bugs, here's some of the open ones, you find bugs, you put them in there, or things that you want us to work on, code related, put them in there, and people will be monitoring that and responding to that. So again, they've been talking about Stack Overflow and other user voice and all that, but this is for code in particular, for this repository. This is where you would go for, hey, I'm having a bug. Hey, can you add this feature? Another section I want to show you is the wiki section. I believe this is open to any member of GitHub. So you could come in here and contribute documentation if you wanted. Finally, the last thing on GitHub is forks and pull requests. So if you're really ambitious, you've figured out the code, you spent a lot of time, and you have some additions to add, go ahead and fork us, which means that you create a copy of the repo in your own public repository. So here, instead of saying Office Dev, Office 365, it says Josh Gav. I've created my own private copy of this, where I can start doing modifications, writing my own stuff, and then when I'm ready, I can go back and submit a pull request back on the main screen. I think you go over here and create a pull request. And you would see the pending pull request in that pull request section. So the way it works on GitHub, you fork the project into your own copy of it, you modify it there, and then you do a pull request to ask the owners of the original project to put your code in as well. And we will accept pull requests. You have to sign a contributor license agreement and stuff, but we do intend to accept pull requests if you want to do that. Okay, last thing, we've got about 5 minutes left. So I want to show you, this has been all about Android so far, but I want to show you another option for cross-platform apps, and that is Cordova. So who here has heard of Cordova before? Okay, a few people, that's good, that's awesome. Anyone know what the former name of Cordova was? Yes, give that man a shirt. I heard it from a couple of people. So it was PhoneGap, Adobe contributed it to Apache, it's now the Apache Cordova project. In a nutshell, and it's really a nutshell because we don't have much time, Cordova allows you to take an HTML and JavaScript application, kind of like a web application, and package it up as a native app for many different devices. So that's a good part of it. Another good part of it is that it also provides a shim layer that lets you access a lot of native functionality, which you wouldn't usually be able to get at from JavaScript, from a web view in one of these devices. Really all it is you download Cordova, and it's a command line application. I put a list down there at the bottom of some of the key commands. So Cordova create creates you a new Cordova project. Cordova platform add lets you add, say, WP8 or Android to the project. Cordova plugin add lets you add in plugins that allow interfacing with, say, the camera or GPS or the accelerometer. Cordova build actually builds the projects that will run on Android or run on Windows or run on iPhone. And then Cordova Run actually deploys the application straight out to your emulator or your device. So our last demo of the day is going to be a quick look at a Cordova app. And this is a proof of concept. So me and a couple other guys from my team last week were in a hackathon. And our challenge was, can we get a Cordova app? Well, we don't have any Azure Active Directory libraries or Exchange libraries or any libraries. Can we get it to talk to SharePoint and Exchange? And we did. Was really exciting. So let me CD over to the project. And I'll show you the way that the directory looks. So when you do Cordova create, what you end up with is this structure in your folder. Most of it is not relevant. Your key thing is that www folder. You go into that www folder, and you've got index.html, you've got a JS folder, a CSS folder, all the kinds of stuff you would expect for a web application. So let me just show you what the JavaScript looks like briefly. Index.html is a single page web application which One of the guys on my team from the hackathon wrote, pretty fancy, I don't want to get into it, but it basically has different divs for SharePoint files, for Exchange files, which come up as necessary. What I want to look at here is login.js. And I don't know how to zoom here. Just use this. And you'll see it looks very similar. Again, I needed that list of stuff that I need for Azure AD. I'm going to get a SharePoint access token. So here you see do SharePoint login. I don't have a library, so I have to create the URLs myself. I open the window. Here's where I, remember we said in device OAuth, the whole trick is capturing the redirect URL with the OAuth token. So that was the big trick for us here, was when the window opens, I need to be listening, and if it matches, if the URL that's in there matches the redirect URL, then I need to capture that and do some things with it. So if I find that it matches, I pull out the code, then I take the code and go to the token URL, I post that up there, I post to that token URL with my authorization code, and I end up getting an access token. Here I did a little hack. I had to log into SharePoint, and then I logged into Exchange right afterwards. And the Exchange login looks the same. So that's that. I want to run down to one last thing, get SharePoint resource. So here I do an AJAX call, get. The resource path is just the __API/files or whatever it is for SharePoint. I add my bearer header with, or my authorization header with the access token. And then I say, if you're successful, call this callback, which I use on the main in a different area, with the results, responsedata.d.results. Same thing with the Exchange. I get the responsedata.value, which is all of my emails. And I say, call back and display the results somewhere. Okay, so didn't go deep into that, but let me show you it working. So I need to open up. For this Cordova app, I actually needed the latest version of Android. So let me open up my KitKat emulator. Should have opened it a second ago. And while that's happening, what I want to show you is let's look into Cordova. When I did the build, I actually, when you do a Cordova build, it actually goes in this platforms folder and creates a separate folder for each platform you're targeting. So the Android one is in here, and it has the kinds of stuff that you might expect for an Android project, Android manifest, blah, blah, blah. And the WP8 one, guess what it has? Visual Studio projects and all the like. And I was actually hoping, I wasn't able to hook my Windows Phone up, but I was hoping to show deploying this straight to Windows Phone. Let's just do Android for a second here. So I say, let's back up, cd dot dot, and say Cordova build Android emulator, preparing the project. Say Cordova run Android. There we go. Yeah, I didn't need to specify emulator for build. Okay, and you see it popping up here. I think I've cleared the cache. So when I click login, guess what? There's my old standard, my Azure AD login. Hit OK. You see it pops up again. If you look closely there, it says Exchange login successful. A second ago, it said SharePoint login successful. I say show services. I click this. And it shows SharePoint files from my OneDrive, actually. I click Outlook, Exchange email. It shows my emails. And I see that there's been a couple new ones today. Now, like I said, if you want to see afterwards, I have the exact same app running here on my Windows Phone. I don't have a way to show it to you, but it looks the exact same. So the cool thing about Cordova, use it. Notice that I didn't have problems with cross-domain calls and things like that. That's something that Cordova, since your app is trusted, doesn't have to worry about. So a lot of good things about Cordova. You write your app, it runs anywhere. So with that is all for today, and I hope you guys got a lot out of it. And we're right on time. And I'm up here if you have questions or want to see that demo.